there. Welcome to the FlameFlash.net podcast, episode 153. We are sitting here on August 2nd, 2024. Olympics are in full swing. Politics are in full swing. Deadpool and Wolverine is in full swing. Summer is wrapping up. We're in the last month of summer. When you think about it, kids will be going back to school, that sort of thing. So we actually had a question. So thank you out there for that. They didn't mention whether or not they wanted to be mentioned as far as who they are. But the question came up of what were my thoughts on the presidential immunity SCOTUS decision from a few weeks ago. And I haven't touched on it much or at all, really, because of everything else that was going on. And then there's the fact that, well, those of us that are asking about it or thinking about it, we're not members of the cult. We're not brainwashed into thinking that Desperate Cheeto is Neato. So all I'm doing is sitting here from the perspective of an individual with a master's in the political science realm, thinking, what, where, how? If all y'all that got put on the court by Trump did the same amount of logic yoga that you did to overturn Roe versus Wade, if you were consistent with your beliefs, the immunity clause would not exist because it's not there in the Constitution whatsoever. It just isn't. That's one of the really cool things about the United States, is that we don't have a God, King, Emperor. We have an elected citizen who steps up and serves, a citizen commander-in-chief of the military. And then after their 4 or 8 or 12 years, depending on how far in history you want to go, they step down or they die in office, and then we move on to the next one peacefully. So the idea of presidential immunity goes against everything. The president puts their pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else. And when they are no longer wearing the hat of president, they are a fellow citizen, albeit one with Secret Service entourage, because, yes, they had access to classified documents and secrets and need the extra protection. It's warranted, as we learned on July 13th. But I'm standing here, or sitting here, whichever the case may be, doing the John Travolta Pulp Fiction gif, shrugging and looking around and wondering, where in the world in the Constitution does it actually say presidential immunity, where it grants presidential immunity? Because it doesn't. You could actually make a logic yoga conclusion on how to overturn Roe versus Wade if you are willing to throw out precedent, which is also an important part about the American justice system, and previous interpretations, and try to go literalist. But if you're literalist in one aspect, you need to be literalist in all aspects, or you're a hypocrite, or you lose the faith of the people, which they already have, granted. There's a nice big subset that no longer trusts the Supreme Court, which is heartbreaking. Instead, we need to trust the process. There are checks and balances in place right now, still, and we need to trust the process. The Constitution is still an incredible future-proofed document, and we need to lean back hard into it and go back to it. The president doesn't get immunity. There are implied rights that aren't spelled out literally that should still be upheld. So we'll get there eventually. And there are things that, because of the Constitution, unless something like Project 2025 comes along and throws the baby out with the bathwater, we'll still have the Constitution and can lean into that. The problem remains that enough cultists are getting in enough places of power that they're not individuals of morality or character or operating in good faith anymore. It's why, for example, I have given up on engaging in social media with any of these individuals. It's just not worth my peace. It's not worth my time at all. Now, that's not to say I won't step up or step in, and I have definitely stepped in it, in cases where it's just misinformation. It's plain, simple misinformation. Now, what I don't do is engage directly. I post something counter, a counter meme, I'm forgetting the term for posting a status, calling out a thing without actually calling out the individual. But that's what I'm doing. For example, the Olympics are going on. The Olympics have been amazing to catch here and there. I absolutely am in love with memes surrounding the silver medalist individual from Turkey who is just standing there with no extra gear, no extra equipment, t-shirt, hand in pocket, gun in hand, and he's hitting the targets. That's so cool. 51-year-old retired military, I believe, from what I've seen. I've just loved seeing the memes of this gentleman. I can't pronounce his name, so I'm not going to try. But I've loved seeing that kind of thing coming across regarding the Olympics. Or North Koreans and South Koreans gathering together and taking a selfie because they're somewhere safe where they can. And hopefully when the North Korean team goes back home, they don't face any negative repercussions for that. Not that we'll ever hear about it, but hopefully they don't. Because regardless of where you live, we're all still human. regardless of how tall you are, what shape you are, what color you are, whatever you are, we're all still human. We're all in this together. And the Olympics are a fantastic way of shining a spotlight on how amazing humanity is and how diverse humanity is, and embracing both of those aspects. I just wish more people would embrace those aspects, because then you go into the more negative aspects, the more negative reactions of the Olympics, and there's a bunch of fundamentalist Christians getting up in arms about, oh, you're parroting the Last Supper. No! Guys, there are other paintings with a bunch of people gathered at a table sharing a meal together or having a party together, not just the Last Supper. And if the Last Supper is your expectation of Christianity and Jesus and his disciples, well, you have a few other internal biases you probably need to go check at the door, because Jesus was brown. He wasn't Ewan McGregor. He wasn't Obi-Wan Kenobi. And all the individuals painted in the Last Supper picture were definitely not of Arabic region descent. So get over yourselves. That's not what the opening ceremony was about at all. I didn't really watch it. I just caught snippets later, and it's like, guys, this is clearly not what it was about. Why are you getting upset? Counterpost, though. You find a polite counterpost, either yourself and do the research, or somebody else who has done the research, and you make comment. It's like the logic limbo that is being performed regarding an Algerian woman boxer versus an Italian woman boxer. And the Italian competitor got hit in the nose just right that she felt she had to tap out. She knew herself, she knew her body, and she tapped out. And everyone is leaning on Russian propaganda, Russian unverified information that says the Algerian woman is not technically a woman. And enough people in different crazy circles have gone, oh, you're letting not a woman fight in a women's match, and so we're going to tear the Olympics apart about this, since nobody listened to our crazy rantings about the Last Supper offense. And guys, stop attacking people for not fitting your expectations of gender normalcy. I'm a bearded, bald, 5'9 guy with glasses. I'm not going to be mistaken for anybody else, anything else. I'm not an Olympian. But there's a swimmer that's an American swimmer that's being attacked for the same reason, because she doesn't look feminine enough. There's this Algerian boxer. I'm sure they'd even be going after Simone Biles if she looked less feminine. They're not, because she appears parallel to the femininity expected by Americans. But people really need to cool it. I think the author of Harry Potter got involved. I'm not going to give her name the time of day. You know who it is. And it's floating around on Twitter. And sadly floating around on Facebook. I've seen it there. And chill. Please do your research. Stop leaning into these conspiracy theories that if you're going to lean into a conspiracy theory, at least find an entertaining one. Okay, please. Or a positive one. Not that there are many of those, but why can't we all just get along? So another little random tidbit just that's out there is that you may not know, and you may be driving through, or you may live here in Minnesota, and the child seatbelt laws just changed. So you have to have your child has to be 13 years or older to sit in the front seat. Period. End of discussion. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. If your 12-year-old sits in the front seat and the officer prerogative triggers during a routine traffic stop for another reason, they're going to get you. Now, I think this is going back to the body shaming and attacking of individuals. I have a 13-year-old that is tiny. I have a 10-year-old who is not as tall as the 13-year-old, but probably weighs more. The 10-year-old is tall enough and weighs enough that they should safely be able to sit in the front seat. And before that was the rules. It was a weight and height requirement. Much less arbitrary, much more founded in science. So I really don't understand the arbitrariness of changing it to an age. I really don't. But it's neither here nor there. Just wanted folks to be aware. It's out there. It kicked in August 1st. So since we are on August 2nd, it's out there now. I've mentioned it. Deadpool and Wolverine. Now, before we go to the positive, there are so many people amusingly up in arms that can't take a joke, that are so easily offended. Ryan Reynolds' character of Deadpool, I think in the trailers even, says that he is Marvel Jesus. Guys, this movie broke R-rated movie records and is the highest grossing there. It is the highest grossing movie since No Way Home, Spider-Man No Way Home. It's the highest grossing movie for either Hugh Jackman or Ryan Reynolds, since they're the stars. It's broken multiple records. It's a Deadpool movie, so nothing is supposed to be taken seriously. If you feel you will be easily offended or made uncomfortable, don't go. I saw it on opening weekend. And it was one of those situations of, okay, since son and fiance and daughter and fiance and a bunch of their friends are going to go see it on Friday night, on opening night, I'm going to hang back. I'm not going to pre-buy tickets. Warn me if there's anything absolutely terrible as compared to Deadpool 1 and 2, because against my wishes, their mother shared Deadpool 1 and 2 with the now 16-year-old when he was younger. And it's like, okay, well, he handled those okay. So now that he's 16, I'm comfortable with him seeing Deadpool 3 if there's nothing highly questionable. My adult children, go forth, screen it, let me know. Both of them said it was fine, passing colors. If you've seen Deadpool 1 and 2, it'll be fine. Cool. Well, now, holy crap, how do I get tickets? Because the biggest town nearby, everybody's selling out. Yep, it happens. Google Foo saved the day. I found this tiny little town sitting on an interstate, so it actually had some other accoutrements. They didn't have reserved seating, so off we went. I didn't have to pay for buying the tickets online. I called ahead. It's like, hey, do you still have tickets for this showing? I don't see reserved seating. The fellow went into way too much detail about why they don't have reserved seating. I didn't care. I wanted to just make sure there were going to be seats available. And he's like, oh, yeah. There were maybe 25 people in that theater. It was a fantastic solo experience. I will go back to that mom and pop theater on other releases because it's an equidistant from the bigger town. So awesome. Awesome. Loved the movie. Loved Marvel Jesus. And because they are begging fans who have seen it not to go into any additional detail, that's where I'll leave it. Just, if you enjoyed Deadpool 1 and 2, it is worth your time. If you are easily offended, it is not worth your time. Stay home. I really wish people would start promoting what they love instead of promoting what they despise, what bothers them, what they hate. Unless you have an idea for change. Because let's go back to that. If you don't like how something's going, go for change. Fix it. Find a way to fix it, whether it's lobbying your representative, making a podcast, making a vlog, writing to the editor, whatever it happens to be. If you don't like the thing, make it better. Don't just sit there and flounder around hating on the thing. That's going to fester inside. That's going to poison you. And we don't want that. We don't want you poisoned. Let's make the world better together, friends. Okay? Okay. Okay. So, aside from Deadpool and Wolverine, which was phenomenal, as I've already said. Gaming-wise, it was another good week. Overwatch. Overwatch mostly. Overwatch more so than anything else that I can think of. Mario Wonder. A wee bit of Helldivers, maybe. Some Stardew. This weekend, I am helping one of the boys from that same friend group that went and saw Deadpool and Wolverine move. So they're getting their own place and they're moving out of their parents' basement. Good for them. I think that will be very healing for them. I think that is the best course of action for them. They have a roommate, but they're getting out of there. Their home life was a little toxic, a little mentally abusive, not physically abusive, at least just from an outsider looking in. They were taken for granted. And like I have mentioned on relationship comments in the past, being taken for granted is heartbreaking. It's problematic. It's soul draining. And you can't find your peace when every step you take, you feel like you're being taken advantage of and therefore worthless. So just keep that in mind. I think I've gone off on it on a TikTok. Relationships, both people should be putting in 100%. Both people. Not one, not the other. Not some silly meet 50-50 and turn it into some kind of a tit-for-tat situation. That's a business deal. If you are helping just to be helped, you are in a business deal, not a loving relationship. To that end, I am going to close with something personal. So thank you for sticking around. And I wrote this back on May 17th, 2024. And it's going out into the void. Not that anybody will, you know, hear it. But one person will. Podcast at flameflash.net. One person will. I see you. Thank you for listening. I don't know how it happened or where it all went wrong. The beginning of our story was just as what is told in song. You came to me untrusting and insecure. I sacrificed a lot with the thought our love would endure. We first met in 1990. You declared that very day you'd met the boy you'd marry. If only you'd chosen to stay. We dated others for a time after I moved away. A fact you'd make sure I never forgot, because you saw it as though I had strayed. The way you tell it, your parents kicked you out of your home. I went to you there in 2001 and brought you back with me. We had nothing for you, but that didn't stop you, because you were safe with me. I called my close friend Dee. I knew she'd lend a hand, so we took a chance and settled you into a place where you strayed soon with another boy man. I should have known then it was all for naught, that something within you was too far fraught. I gave it no long thought. The red flags continued as I gave up control, even though I'd done nothing to break your trust or soul. The green flags waved too as you helped me achieve my degrees and raise a family. We laughed, we gamed, we celebrated, and cried. Things became stable after the big Minnesota drive. Your monitoring grew as the technology changed, growing angry if I didn't say the right things. My phone wasn't mine, my socials were screened. If I said the wrong thing in a text, I'd face your screams. Then a strange thing happened. 5 years ago today, you found your brother, and you forced upon us for him to stay. This wasn't only your brother, however, for you strayed with him too, threatening if I fled, I'd have nothing. I'd already been destroyed at this point by you. 4 years I balanced as best as I could, being your slave as you bore children that weren't mine. I misunderstood. You said to be patient, you'd return again someday, except each time you left, we'd all already begged you to stay. The yelling became greater, and this time the hitting began. I think you wanted me to swing in response this time. I never raised a hand against you, though. I was your victim. You weren't mine. In 2023, I faced my fear and said, this can happen no more. You're in over your head. You posted on Facebook a story, you see, that couldn't be unseen. You cheated now times three. That same man you tried to repeat the cycle with. The children were scared, but you said deal with it. It was then I knew I couldn't go on. The song we sang had ended. You were too far gone. This year it was decided by a judge's decree. Everything and everyone you left here now belongs with me. I rebuild now, myself and our children, on this anniversary of betrayal. I lift my burdens further. You'll claim I was no saint, you'll claim it's all lies, except with you, my former dear, is where truth went to die. I have the receipts, as they say, so there's no denying you strayed. I'm free now to be, finally me, and share on this anniversary what you did to me. I'm free. And that's why FlameFlash.net podcast is set up as a politics, current events, relationships, gaming. I'm a smorgasbord. And that's the way I'll always be. So thank you if you've stayed this long listening to me. I'll sign off for now. We've definitely gone over the last time, but we had a lot to talk about. So thank you for joining. Again, this is the FlameFlash.net podcast. It was episode 153, August 2nd, 2024. And if you want to send something in, it's podcast at FlameFlash.net. I'll be watching for you.